Nemo. Hey, Noir. What's up? Okay.
What's up?
Three, two, one.
If I can do it, then you can too. Old team together and we'll make it through. I've been going solo for all too long, and it's time to move on.
Hello. Hello, hello, my neurodiverse home dogs. Today we are exploring self-care and self-discipline. So, who are we if you don't know us? We are the ADHD Explorers. We are part of the family of ADHD doers. We've been part of the community for like freaking forever now. And we are a bunch of ADHDers that just want the best for other ADHDers. And we make resources and everything that we've ever learned, all the science, all the crowd, all the group of everyone together, all the suggestions of what has worked for them. We all pool it together and we make these podcasts to make the ultimate practical advice
Ultimate
for how to
advice
live
for
life
me.
and kick ass while also having ADHD, like how to make the most of everything. So today, self-care versus self-discipline. Because I wanted to do an episode on this because I've had a big transformation in my life over the past 2 years. I've gone from beating myself up for everything, feeling guilt and shame about everything about having ADHD, you know, and I think that when we are in it, there's like two modes, as I see it, of managing ADHD. You have like the guilt and shame spiral, which I think a lot of us find ourselves in often, and I still do find myself in. And you know, you're kind of beating yourself up for a lot. And that's a big burden to bear. You know, it's like you're trying to do something, but if you're beating yourself up at the same time, it's like extra hard. And so I wanted to introduce this episode by introducing two concepts. Like, there's the guilt and shame spiral, which is like mode one, you could say. And then there's this other mode of managing ADHD, which is like a self-care upward spiral. Which to me is like, you know, it's encouraging. Your inner monologue, like even when it says, "Oh, you're a bit rubbish at this," it says, "Okay, I see my brain is saying that. I see that's the inner critic. Maybe I'm going to remember what my emotional motivation is for this task, be practical, support myself with every little win I do, accept where I am." And I think that that's the two modes I want to introduce. What do you think of that, Addy? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I feel like we go through stages of either like that self-flagellation where you're like whipping yourself to try and get yourself to do things. And a lot of that comes from like this idea of, yeah, like willpower or discipline, or you just need to try harder, right? And that is not helpful a lot of the time, because then we are trying so hard all the time. No, like it's everything is a lot of effort for us, and so then when things aren't going as well, we're just like, oh, I'm just gonna try harder, try harder, try harder, and then you just burn out, right? So it's not really helpful. And then the flip side of that is doing it as a gift to yourself, and taking care of your future self essentially by doing these like little things that help you out. And that really is just like the essence of self-love, you know? And it just feels a lot better in the end to do it that way.
Like, I love how this could be like if we're the ADHD explorers, like, and people talk about self-love, right? I think we could do it like, yeah, okay, self-love, but what is that practically? What is that as in like a day in the life? You know, what does
Of
that
loving
look
yourself,
like?
actually.
Because it seems like such an ethereal thing, like, oh, self-love helps everything happen. And frick me, if someone said that, I would have punched them. I would have punched them in the face. No, but really, you mentioned discipline, right? And I think that before I knew I had ADHD, like I learned I had ADHD at the age of like 28, right? Like you, late diagnosed. And I all my life, there were all these videos and all these things that were like, all you need is discipline. All you need is discipline. All you need is discipline. And I was like, okay, like what? Like it's like when someone
What
says,
is
or just
that?
focus. And then I stumbled years later across a post by Mark Manson, who wrote that book about not giving a fuck, how to not give a fuck, or whatever. I've forgotten the name, sorry. But he wrote this, and he wrote that forget self-discipline is what he said. And if it works for you, great. But this was his concept. He said, forget self-discipline. When you start to care for your own needs, especially your basic needs, you start to actually, you don't need the discipline because you genuinely want to do what is right for you. Like, you don't need to like fight. I feel like with discipline, sometimes there's a part of us that is fighting back and there's a part that wants to do it. And that is like, you know, it doesn't line up in your brain. It's like having two brains at once. You really want to do it.
That's why it's like,
you don't want to do
it. Feels like more effort, right?
Yeah, you're fighting. It's like dragging a boulder.
Yeah.
All right.
Going the other way. and so, like this, like let's talk about the guilt spiral and shame spiral, because I think that when you have ADHD, we're always comparing ourselves to neurotypicals. We see people have effortless executive function, and I'm always looking at people who are organized and thinking, oh, why can't I be like them? Bang, shame, and then shame is like influencing me for like however long it lasts, you know. There's like self-hate, it's disempowering, less power, less agency, I feel. You know, I feel like I'm almost less in control of my body. I just want to like lie down and I just want to feel sad. And so I've been planting these little seeds of giving gifts to my future self. And like noticing, I feel like what I have learned to do is every time I see myself beating myself up, like an inner critic is having a rage storm and like blabbing. I say, hey, I see you, inner critic.
Shut the fuck up.
You're being a bit cheeky today. Yeah, shut the fuck up. You're being way too cheeky, mate. Calm down. Give me a break. And what we're going to do is celebrate what I have done today. And I take that point right there to write a new neural network in my brain. Like, I see the pattern. Normally I'm like criticized and then I go straight to shame. Okay, I see the criticism now in my brain. I'm going to celebrate that because I have an awareness of what I'm thinking, and that grows your mindfulness. And to celebrate that shows your neurons, it stimulates your neurons, and your neurons are like, oh yeah, thank you, I'll do that again. And from there you can write in a new pattern. And so you can take those moments to, you know, put your focus in your body or focus like on something physical. You can do that, or you can focus on maybe a positive sentiment or something that you have done today that's great. Because I'm sure you know, Addy, like what it's like when I was in the depths of depression with ADHD. You don't feel like you have power to do anything. You don't feel like you can even take a shower. And so they say, do what you can with what you have. I love that saying. And I that really dragged me through that period. Do what you can with what you have. So I would freaking drag myself to the shower. And if I had a shower, I'd be like, I did it. And I love what Brooke was saying the other day about celebrating small wins. And I think that really does set the foundation for that upward self-care spiral. And it trains you the opposite. We are looking out for our future self. We are celebrating every single win we do, whatever it is, however small. If you put your pens in a place where you can use them, if you can put your, I don't know, if you can make your bed in the morning, it sets the tone. Today is a self-care day. If you don't know how to self-care for yourself, if you never got taught, maybe you never had a good influence of how to care for yourself, then you can ask yourself, what would someone who loves himself do? Yeah. And when I was reading all these books about self-care, self-love, self-nourishment, that's what it said. That was the basic maxim or reflection point to do. You can ask yourself, what would someone that loves himself do?
A lot of like the time when we think about self-care, we think about like self-indulgence or going into like, oh, I've got to take a luxurious bath, and or like I have to like do all of these like really like, you know, I'm gonna meditate for like 30 minutes and get in really like nice headspace. Like, sure, those things can be self-care, but actually strip it right back. Like, what are the basics? Like, if you are taking care of a child or a pet or something like that. What do you need to do? You need to feed them. You need to give them water. You need to make sure that they're getting good sleep and you like have shelter, essentially, like these really base needs. And oftentimes we are ignoring those. Like, do you have a glass of water right now, listener? Go get a glass of water. Like these are self-care, right? And we forget. It's
oh
like,
my gosh,
when you're really, you know, dysregulated, and again, Brooke talked about it in the episode we did with her about how when you start getting dysregulated and heading into burnout and overwhelm, it's like taking a step back, looking at like the fundamentals and being like, okay, what am I not addressing? What base needs need attention now? Like, did I eat enough today? Probably not. Like, go make yourself a sandwich.
Do you ever have this thing where you're doing a task, let's say, or even when you're with a friend and you get randomly annoyed for no reason, and then you realize you just needed a pee?
You haven't eaten.
Like, yeah, or you haven't eaten. What? I feel like it's like, what is going on there? Do we have just such a telescopic focus that we ignore? Like, I know that like a lot of ADHDers and autistic spectrum people have what they call alexithymia, which is like a lack of awareness of sensations in the body. And I think that's a really cool topic to just to bring about, talk about.
Yeah, no interoception.
Because I feel like a lot of the time my focus is completely externalized and I'm not paying any attention to those sensations that are like, you need to pee! You need to pee! Please pee! Or I get really... Actually, today I was moving a sofa. I was taking apart my sofa and like taking it all apart. And I said to my partner, I was like, babe, I just feel really dead. I'm like 20% battery right now. I don't know what's going on. And she's like, have you eaten? And I was like, no, I've not eaten. Like, it helped to have that kind of like conversation on, let's scroll through the basic needs. Has he showered? Has he hydrated himself? Has he fed himself? And actually, this is funny too. When I did the ADHD music production course with Seb, our whole first day on the ADHD friendly music production course was all about caring for your basic needs. On a break, rest your brain. It was
make
like,
sure you have snacks.
On a break, yeah, keep your blood sugar good. There was a little section of like 20 minutes on just keep yourself hydrated. And you know what? I think that was really, really important. And I think I forget it all the time. Like, I don't know what the secret is, but I think this is a pattern, you know? I feel like it's a pattern that when we start to feel emotional, we can be like, oh, am I just like needing to cover some basic need right now? Oh, I didn't do my morning routine and I'm really stinky and I feel weird about that. Maybe that's why I'm so pissed right now, which has definitely happened to me like a few times. Do you ever forget to shower? Yeah. Like what? Like...
Yeah,
I
mean,
why.
I'm an evening showerer.
Yar.
Showerer?
Yar? Yar?
That word.
Showerer.
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 Okay, so you shower in the evening.
5 minutes whilst figuring out how to someone who showers. Yeah, I shower in the evening just because I often do sports in the evening. I like to go to bed clean. Then I know that my bed sheets are clean along. I don't know. It's just like a nice way to calm down in the evening as well. For me, it's like a hot shower helps to tell your body it's time to go to sleep. But I do sometimes still. I didn't shower on Wednesday, but like I also didn't feel bad about it. I was like, I'm sitting around at home all day not doing anything. Like, it wasn't an active day for me, so I was like, I didn't get sweaty, I don't need to shower. But my morning thing is, maybe I'm not showering, but I wash my face in the morning every day. And kiss my clean, my skin's so clean, because you can tell I don't have any spots right now if you look at me like this.
It's interesting, like it's such a physiological reaction when you put water on your face. And I learned when
Cold
I did
water
a,
on your face.
My free diving course that there are actually like sensors specially for the face, like under the eyes or something, and that when you go into the water it like changes your heart rate. He said it slows your heart rate, but I think mine definitely spikes when I jump in the cold shower or something. But there's something going on with water on your face that is very connected to the body and alerting.
Yeah.
So, talking about these two modes, we have the guilt spiral and we have the upward care, self-care spiral, right? How do we shift from hating ourselves to being like, okay, I'm going to give some gifts to my future self? And I feel like it's like that old beautiful saying about the two wolves, you know?
The
Which
two
one
wolves inside
wins? There's
me.
an evil wolf and there's a good wolf. Which one wins? The one you feed, you know? And I think I heard this. I heard this saying once. I met this monk in Thailand, and he said, "Your mind is like an iPhone. There's many notifications." And I loved when he said that because I started to see everything in terms of
I'm just
all of
picturing
these,
a monk
like,
using an iPhone.
yeah, it's so funny. But it really like that visual has really helped me because I see that when I feel a guilt or shame spike, I see it just like a notification on an iPhone, and you can click on it and you can engage with it and be like, oh,
Can just
that guilt is
swipe.
real. That's not just the radio of the mind, echoes of the past. That is who I am, you know? And that's where I think it's like when you say it's who you are, then it's like locked in into your identity and and it stays with you. But if you can see it instead as kind of like, oh, this is a temporary state of mind that maybe I'm not meeting a core need right now. And I love the idea of just being aware of when you get those notifications and choosing a new positive habit pattern that is in line with self-care rather than self-hate or berating yourself. So I thought that's really cool. I think that
I
another thing that,
liked
yeah, go for it.
what you were saying before was that you were saying when you're being self-critical of yourself and when you're trying to change that, and like trying not to then be self-critical of being self-critical of yourself, if that makes sense, like
It's
because
a
that
deep,
can become like a loop.
and it's a
Instead of
deeply
like when you're
written.
trying to get out of that mindset, instead of them being like, oh, I'm doing it again, I'm beating myself up again, and then you're doing it to yourself. What you said of like you notice that, oh, I'm being self-critical. Okay, well, how do we shift that mindset and like talk to yourself? Like, oh, okay, that's something that's coming up. Let's try and like shift that and just being like
Yeah.
kind to yourself
If
in that.
an this concept, I think what it takes to move from the guilt spiral to the self-care spiral, this concept of acceptance. Like Neil Harrison, was it, what was his name? The kick we interviewed that kickboxing champion for the podcast. And he said, we asked him, like, do you still have like bad days where you just like hate yourself and you just want to lie in bed? And he's like, yeah, I have those days. I just let those days happen and then I wake up the next day. And I attacked the day on purpose. And I was like, oh my gosh. So he is kind of just accepting. He's like, okay, this happens. And I think this concept of expanding your ability to accept uncomfortable emotions is part of this shift from guilt and shame spiral to this upward self-care spiral. And I think that's helped me a lot. And I'll demonstrate the point, right? I was at a party last night. It was my friend's birthday.
What?
And I went in and I was feeling a bit like, oh, there's so many new people. And I was feeling all this anxiety, especially when a new person comes in. Maybe you're talking to people you know, and a new person comes in. I'm like, oh, uh-oh. Inside, I'm like, oh no, a new person. I have to like switch on and make sure they don't hate me. You know, I have to be a n nice person. All of this, my heart rate goes through the roof. And for whatever reason, I approached it as like a challenge. And I was like, right, I'm just gonna see how long this anxiety lasts. Because someone said that it's temp, someone said like that social anxiety is temporary. And I was like, okay, well, let's go into this like a challenge. Let's see how long it lasts. Because I think that it's normal when you meet a new person to feel a bit anxious, but it doesn't last the whole thing. You get through it together and then it is easy. And that's exactly what happened. I went in, I was feeling anxious. I didn't know how to talk to them. I froze up. I really did freeze up. I didn't know how to say anything. I just went quiet and was like, But then, you know, it just social interactions just like, I don't know. It breaks at a certain point. this like tension. And it turned into a really like good conversation. I got to meet them and I didn't have any need to. And I think that just seeing that anxiety is temporary and choosing to approach it as I am purposefully, intentionally trying to expand my capacity to feel rather than just being like, oh no, fuck, I'm feeling anxiety. Let's make this three times worse. You know, and sometimes, like, I think it's fine if you want to take yourself out of the situation. We all have different capacities to feel. And I know it's like, that's something that we really, we experience things really intensely. And I think that growing our capacity to feel is part of this. Because I think that, you know, it's like those fleas in the jar. Are you familiar with that?
No, I don't think so.
They did this experiment where they had loads of fleas in a jar and they can jump really high, right? They can jump higher than this jar was. And they put a lid on a jar and they let them stay in there for like a while. And then they open the lid again and none of them jumped that high again. They didn't jump out. And I think
because
that sometimes... Because
there was a limit and they had learned that that was the limit.
They learned that that was the limit. And I think that sometimes there are times when we have low capacity, we try and expose ourselves to uncomfortable emotions and it's too much because we don't have the capacity. But there, I think we set the bar there. And I know that I have done that too. So we're all in the same.
So we're putting a lid on our own jar a lot of the time is what you're
thinking.
Saying.
I'm thinking like, let's explore the capacity to feel things. And it's not like, I'm not saying to like shove down or ignore your emotions. I'm just saying that we can expand our capacity to remain calm when they come and to let them come and go and expand our ability to let them dance their dance without being like, oh, this is how I'm feeling, making a story about how we're feeling and writing that in like it's part of us rather than like an echo from the past or just something physiological, like you need some water, you know, or something
so,
natural.
Yeah. If what you're saying then with regards to self-care is that like, if you're having those times where you're struggling and instead of being like, oh, I'm a piece of shit and I can't take care of myself, just like understanding that it's temporary and giving yourself grace and being like, oh, I'm having a potato day today and I can't get out of bed and I have not showered or brushed my teeth. And then, yeah, just being like, and that's okay. Like, it's okay that that happens sometimes as opposed to like, yeah, feeling guilty about it because then the guilt feeds itself.
The guilt is a horrible emotion to feel. And I think it's one of the worst, and I think it's a lot, it's one that a lot of ADHDers and anyone that feels like they're not like so mainstream can feel shame. Mm-hmm. And it's one that like triggers us into freeze and fight and flight. And I think that as we expand our ability to like grow our vagal tone and, I don't know. It's hard to put into words, but I think that it's possible to grow it through things like just having an intention to see if you can, you know. And I just wanted to share that because it's been a big thing for me, like learning to feel more in a good way rather than like be like, oh no, everything's crazy all the time. Like we it's like preventing yourself from multiplying the pain. And so, yeah, at the party, I saw it came and it went and it was good. And I think that's freaking awesome. You'd like, I think that part of that self-care upward spiral is kind of like doing things that are ADHD friendly too. Like, for example, I've been thinking a lot about this concept of, do you ever like have a task and you don't really want to do it? And you're like, oh, do I have to do this? Do you ever like, I don't know how well known this is in the ADHD community, but I've started to reflect on this, where you frame it in, like from your, like what you get out of it, like why you're excited about it, like why it's a good thing for you. Emotional framing, you could call it. like emotional reward framing or something. I think that like that's been a real good boost into that upward spiral, you know, because I think that we learn all these tips from like the neurotypical world and the neurotypical like self-help world that are always like, oh, you know, just force yourself to do it. And, you know, just use your willpower instead of being like, oh, why don't you frame it with what you're excited about it? Like today I was undoing my bed, changing a bed over to just a mattress on the floor because I want to roll around like that. And I was undoing my bed and I was like, geez, I'm so tired. I'm so annoyed. And then I was like, oh, I can frame this into, oh, I get to make like, I love making palace, you know, like I get to frame it into something that's like genuinely more interesting and something that I'm excited about more than just like, oh, yeah. I have a freaking a million bolts to undo here. And then I didn't have any problem with the motivation. So that's just been game changing.
I've been doing that.
Did you do that?
Yeah. Like, especially right now, like going to the gym. Because it's winter now, it's fucking rainvember in Vancouver, and I hate it. Like, it's dark and cold, and I don't want to go outside. And so, like, getting to the gym is a lot of work. I have to like, put on all my rain gear and cycle there, and it's just like, but I know how good I feel after I've worked out, and like, how much I started boxing again, and there's some heavy bags at my gym, so I just go there and I like punch the shit out of them, and like. There's a guy there who holds some bags for me and lets me kick him. It's great. And I feel so calm afterwards. Like I come home and my mind is clear. I feel so calm. And so I have to like remind myself like, oh, it's going to be work to get there. I'm going to be cold, but like, I'm going to feel good afterwards. I'm going to feel nice and calm afterwards.
Wow. Nice. And I feel like it's hardest at the beginning. Like it's obvious that you have built that reward into your mind to have that habit. Like you're so familiar with the goodness you're going to get out of it that it's like, you know that that's waiting for you at the end. And that, I feel like that makes it such a sustainable habit. You've bathed in that goodness afterwards.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share about self-care versus self-discipline?
I think part of self-care as well is taking time to do things you enjoy, because I think we so often neglect that in respect of just doing basic stupid life shit like
yes.
living as an adult because we have to, right? And it was something my therapist actually, she was like, I want you before our next session, she's like, I want you to start drawing or painting again. She's like, because it brings you a lot of joy and I know that it's like good for you mentally. And so I started again this week, I started doing, there's a thing called Inktober, but obviously I missed that because it's November now. So I looked up Inkvember and just to see if there were any prompts. And so I started doing that and I've been drawing every day for the last like 3-4 days. Wow. So good. It's so good to get back into like doing something just for the sake of it, like the creative side, something that I just enjoy, that I can absorb myself in, whatever that thing is for you, that counts as self-care. Like if that's knitting or like for you, Ben, like playing music, just like messing around on your guitar, your Minecraft even, like those are self-care as well.
I love that.
You know?
It's almost like self-care should be expanded and rebranded as self-nourishment. And it's like such
really.
A good thing. Self-care
is.
Sounds like a lot of effort to me. Like, I don't want to freaking
like caretaker. Like I'm a child. Don't take care of myself.
It's like homework energy. I don't want to do that. I'm an adult.
Homework energy.
I'm an adult. I want self-nourishment.
That was another thing. That was a distinguishment. I mean, I don't know if it's completely related, but like in therapy the other day, I had a realization of the difference between work and effort, because I mentioned a potential spoiler that my relationship right now feels like a lot of work. And she was like, oh, that sounds like work. I have to go to work, like homework. She's like, because relationships are effort. But if it's worth the reward, that effort is worth it, right? Like when you're creating something, when you're making a cake and you know you're going to get cake at the end, it's worth the effort, right?
It's baked in.
And so Yeah, like self-care or nourishment, whatever you want to call it. It takes effort sometimes, but like it's worth it. Whereas like,
Damn.
yeah, if it's work, you don't want to do.
Wow, that is a wisdom bomb, Addy. Well, let's end there. Wow. Thanks for that. Wait, let me just sum that
Nourish
up.
yourselves.
Nourish yourself. Self-nourishment. Self-nourishment sounds like a spa that I'm going to and just living in my whole life. And I like that a
And
lot
drinking
more than
water and
self-care.
eating snacks.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna be hydrated. I'm gonna feel good. I love
I'm gonna have
that.
a washed face.
Oh, so guys, celebrate all your small wins today. Keep that positive energy going. Accept all your negative things that dance around. And if you want any more ADHD resources, check us out on ADHDers.com. Lots of love,
Right.
guys.
See you
Keep it
then.
real.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye 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 bye.